Well, it's very tiring the Sunday after Christmas, isn't it? Especially when Christmas is on Friday. There's only one day in between. And not to mention that, Carol and I moved into a new house this week as well. So lucky to find anything this morning. Nonetheless, we had an interesting thing happen this week. Well, we had a number of interesting things happen this week. But one of them in particular was this. Carol was out walking our dog in the new neighborhood and met some of our new neighbors. A young girl and her dad were out walking their dog. And the next day, this young girl and her older sister dropped by with some cookies and things for Christmas, just to welcome us to the neighborhood. Very nice, I thought. However, it said, for Carol and Ben. That's my dog. I didn't get to have any of those cookies. Right? Nonetheless, it was a happy day anyway. So we were having a great time getting things put away, as you could imagine, as much of a great time as that is. But we were very happy that these two young ladies brought by those cookies. They had noticed us. They'd noticed that we moved into the neighborhood, and they noticed that we were brand new, probably, and just made an effort and reached out. And as I was thinking about that, it struck me that that is the case with God. Now, it's not that God has noticed that we moved into the neighborhood. I mean, obviously he has. But that's just not the point. It is that God has moved into our neighborhoods and asks us to notice him. In fact, you'll notice from the gospel reading today, we have the little somewhat more theological manner of saying it, last paragraph, the first sentence there, and the word became flesh and lived among us. The wonderful translation that Eugene Peterson did called The Message puts that particular verse this way. And God became one of us and moved into the neighborhood. And that's absolutely true. He moves into every neighborhood we have, not only the places where our houses are and those people who have houses near us, but every other neighborhood, our circle of friends, our families, the different interests and clubs and so forth that we have, the places where we work. All of those neighborhoods, God is already there. God has moved in to those places as if he were moving in to live there, because he is living there. And that's what Jesus did. Every single possible place you could think of, he has moved into. Which reminds me of that great verse from, I believe it's Isaiah, the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now, we read that, and it's very easy to think that the presence of the Lord shall someday cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. But it says the knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. The inference, the assumption is that the presence of the Lord already covers the entire earth. Everything about creation is already filled with the presence of God. And what comes to us is the knowledge of that presence, the perception of it, the assertion of his presence wherever we are. In fact, Psalm 139 says, if I go to the deepest depths, you are already there. And just anywhere you could possibly imagine, there's the presence of God. And the adventure of our lives, the calling of our lives generally, is to see and know that presence wherever we are. And that's challenging, I think. I think that's very challenging. And it's challenging for a couple of reasons. Some of them you can probably imagine on your own that are challenging for you. But what I would like to do today is to begin to unpack with you a couple of ways in which it shows how God is present among us, already there, and we can come to know that. He dwells among us and moves into the neighborhood. So one of the things that means is this. is that we begin looking at our neighborhoods, if you will, our groups, just a little differently. How do you pick up that God has moved into your neighborhood, into your circle of friends, into your family, that he's already there? How do you begin to see the presence of God there? And I think one of the main ways to do that is to see the gifts of the people that are already there, the talents, the things that they have already going for them are things that God has placed there. And for you to notice them, to perceive them, is part of the action of God. So, you know, if you're looking, let's say, on the street where you live, the road where you live, and there's a few people there, one of the ways to see the presence of God, to know the presence of God on that road, is to begin to see the talents, the gifts, the unique things about the other people who live there. When you see that, you begin seeing more of God. The knowledge of God becomes deeper and richer. Same with any club that you're in, of the members, you begin to see what is unique and what is special, what the gifts, what the histories are, the things that those people have. You see those, you begin perceiving the presence of God in that group. It begins to open the door into your engagement with God there. Same in any group that you can think of. When you begin to see the specific assets, gifts, talents, whatever it may be, the presence of God becomes real, becomes full. Well, fuller. There will be no end to the fullness of God that we can perceive. It's one very important way to do it. And what happens is you begin changing your point of view, your perspective. Your perspective becomes not so much your own point of view, the place where you stand and what you can do in the neighborhood. You begin seeing others who are around in that group the way God sees them. You begin seeing, even if they're difficult people, I mean, none of us have any relationships like that, but hypothetically speaking, if they were difficult people, you begin seeing difficult people the way God sees difficult people. You can see, if you see the gift in someone who otherwise might be hard to live with, or, you know, whatever the case is for you, you see the gift in them, you begin seeing a little more of the way God sees them. And that, just that, means that you have perceived more of God than you did before. You've come to know him more deeply. All because he moved into that neighborhood, whether someone was difficult or not. Just catty corner from our new house, there's a house, and there have been people there working for over a week just taking things out and putting them in dumpsters, huge dumpsters. I mean, I don't know what family lived there, but, you know, the workers are saying, we've never seen anything like this. It's going to take us forever to get just clean this out. I don't know how they lived here. Well, God moved into that neighborhood and into that family and into that situation as well. And someday, someone who's following Jesus will see more of God in them and see them as God sees them. You can probably think of all kinds of examples like that. And the challenge for us is to see God in the middle of every situation because he's moved into that neighborhood. Now, the way that this works among us is that we become ones who receive what John describes here in the gospel as this. A couple of sentences down in the same paragraph. From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. So that's a description of the salvation of God. And as you engage with that salvation, you begin to realize something that goes on. See, salvation is not just hitting the reset button like you would on your phone or your tablet to get back to the factory settings. It's not where you get the forgiveness of God and you go back to some state of innocence that you had before you sinned. And it only takes a moment's thought to know that that's not going to last very long anyway, if that were the case. Salvation, or grace, receiving the grace of God, means that you are receiving a quality of life that you are growing in, and a transformation in which you are becoming more and more like Jesus as you go along. And what happens is you receive grace over and over and over and over again, and you know it. You begin perceiving it. You begin embracing it. And that's what it is to be in God's salvation. You can get into that quality of life where you know that from His fullness, you are receiving grace upon grace. And it is that grace upon grace that then gives you the eyes to see where God has moved into the neighborhood and what He wants to show you about that, how that's going to work, what that's going to be like. Because, I mean, I don't know about you, but it's easy for me in any group that I am connected with, except for this one, of course, to have my own agenda, to think, this group here, this, you know, they ought to be like this. I was reading the Bible this morning, and I think this applies to them. And if they would just get that, then things would be much better. Well, that's me. When I think that way, I haven't done the first thing, taken the first step to see how God has moved into that neighborhood and what I might be doing with that. It takes grace upon grace upon grace upon grace to begin transforming my ability to see the presence of God in each and every neighborhood in which I am involved. But it all goes back to the assumption He's moved into that neighborhood. Now, it doesn't mean that I have to go in and pass out gospel tracts or whatever. If I perceive God's moved in that neighborhood, I start checking in with God. Okay, well, I've got grace enough to see you moved in here. Now what? Well, that's more grace. More grace coming. More grace that I need to receive. More grace that will transform me to be able to follow after Him in the way that I want, and especially the way that He wants. Which brings me to the last piece of this description I want to give you this morning, and it's this. One of the great sections of readings from Christmas comes up at other times too, is that from Isaiah chapter 9. We read it on Christmas Eve night, and our prayers of the people are formed after that today. And of His government there shall be no end, and He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. Each of those names is something very, very special and very specific. And what can happen is that we can think about the way that that appears on our Christmas cards and other things and other songs that we have and miss the direct significance it has for us in the way that we order our lives, in the way we see what Jesus is doing and how He's moved into the neighborhood. And so just for a moment, I want to look at the first one of those, which is Wonderful Counselor. See, what's going on here in this picture in Isaiah is God has given Isaiah this huge picture of what He's like. He's the King of all kings. And we know that. Isaiah knew that. A lot of people know that. King of all kings. But he gives these four names. And what happens when a king in that culture sat on a throne, there would be on the four corners a name of that king. Just as we see here. Four names, a bit of His character or the way that He rules or whatever it may be. And in this one, it's Wonderful Counselor. Now, what I want to invite you to do is to add to your picture of what a counselor is. So we think, and we think this way, that the church ought to be this way. And it ought to be, but there'd be more. Where a counselor is someone who you, when you have a problem that you can't figure out, or you're in some kind of bad situation, you go talk to that person, and hopefully you can get unstuck or get out of the problem, or whatever it may be. It's all very therapeutic. It's a therapeutic picture of what God is like. And we can often think God pretty much sticks with, if we're going wrong, He'll steer us back. If we've got a wrong idea, He'll correct us. If we've done something we shouldn't have done, sinned, whatever it is, been rude, whatever the case may be, and God will convict us. Well, that's counseling, therapeutic therapeutic deal with us where he gets us back where we ought to be so things go smoothly. And we have a picture of the church that way, where we come into the church and it is to be therapeutic, helps us not mess things up, at least too badly. Now, that's absolutely true, and I'm not putting that aside. I am expanding it, because the wonderful counselor here is the King of all kings, King of all kings, and is a portion of his character. And that counselor, particularly for a king of that era, was someone who provided counsel for your life so that you could come in with the plan of that king. It wasn't so much so that you wouldn't, you know, straighten up or get out of your problems or whatever, as important as that is. It's so you would go further and beyond that, so that the king's desire could be carried out by you as he gave you counsel for your life. The shorthand we use for that around here is this. Well, what is God telling you, and what does God want you to do about it? That is the counsel of the wonderful counselor to bring you into the path of the plan that Jesus has for the entire earth. It brings you into the plan of the King of all kings. It is extremely important. It's essential to know the counsel of the wonderful counselor so that you can follow after him. It is going beyond, yes, I believe in Jesus. Yes, I think Jesus is wonderful. Obviously, yes. All the time, as God is good, and so forth. Beyond that is, how do we follow him as our king? He becomes the wonderful counselor to us, the one who gives us the counsel for how to proceed. And often, very often, the counsel for how to proceed and how to walk is going to be beyond what it is to be moral and right, you know, not make mistakes, but how to walk into the lives of the people who he has moved in with. And there is a counsel that comes from him, and it is a wonderful counselor. In other words, a counsel of wonder, a counsel beyond what we can imagine, a counsel beyond what we are able to come up with and plan. It is a counsel that comes from him. So we lean into him and say, what are you telling me? What do you want me to know? How do you want me to walk that out? That's what it is to follow after him. That's what it is to be with God when he moves into the neighborhood. That's what it is to show up with God on the behalf of others. That's what it is to follow Jesus. That's what it is to come after the one who's come after us. And if it's helpful, that's what it is to put Christ back into Christmas. Not like he ever got out of it, but it may be helpful for you to perceive how that works. So, here's my question and challenge for you. Into which of your neighborhoods can you now see God has moved in? Is there a neighborhood you have, a group you have, a circle of association you have, where you're beginning now to see God has already moved in there? Can you picture it? What does he want you to know about that? What is he telling you about that? What step would he have you take now as you see that? Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the wonderful counselor,
the counsel of wonder. And we ask that you would lead us, guide us, direct us, provide for us the way you would have us go, so that we may follow you into the places where you have already moved in all the days of our life. Amen. Let us